right, I want you to take your Bibles tonight and turn to Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29. Brother Steeter, are we all set up over there? All right, Proverbs chapter number 29. And listen real carefully and let me make an explanation or two. We started 13 weeks ago, and I started teaching a series here on Wednesday night that we're calling Relationships. We're talking about a lot of different relationships. We just concluded 3 weeks worth of Wednesday night on the subject of marriage. Tonight we're going to talk about your relationship with your child. Now, it will lean a little more toward those children that are still living within your home. We'll talk about some when later about the children that are not in your home anymore. But let me tell you something. When I go to teaching something on child rearing, there's some of you say, well, my kids are already grown. Well, let me give you a little correlation. When we reach people in the church, those new Christians, they become babes in Christ, if you will. And we often then take the role of being like spiritual mentors or parents to them. So there's something to learn in all of this. Now, those of you, you say, I've already reared my kids. I understand. But back when you were still rearing your kids, it sure was helpful when someone taught some about it and you sat there and said, boy, this is good. Well, back then there were some older people that had already reared their kids, and they were patient, and they hung in there while you were being taught to rear yours. And so, and then you young people, you say, ha, kids. You're a third grade boy, and you think girls have cooties, and you see no sense. And what would you need to know about rearing kids? Well, I may help you tonight to better your relationship with your mom and dad. But believe it or not, if things keep going, and if the Lord gives us many years before He comes back, there's a good chance young people that are single now someday may have the privilege of being married and have families of their own. Some of the things that you have the opportunity to learn, you really don't want to learn them at the last minute. You'd like to catch on and get some instruction as you're preparing for it in your life. Proverbs chapter number 29, I just call the lesson tonight, your relationship with your child or children. Proverbs chapter 29, why don't you stand with me? We're going to start verse number 15, and I'm going to read through verse number 22. Proverbs chapter 29, starting with verse 15, it says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. When the wicked are multiplied, transgression increaseth, but the righteous shall see their fall. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. A servant will not be corrected by words, for though he understand, he shall not answer. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There's more hope of a fool than of him. He that delicately bringeth up his servant from a child shall have him become his son at length. An angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. We're going to stop right there. And I want you to notice, if you will, it says there, in verse number 15, it says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. And we're gonna talk some tonight about our relationship with our children, and again, especially those that when your kids are still living in your home. But let's pray. Father, bless us tonight. Take the lesson, use it to get glory to thyself, please. Help us, Lord, to be better Christians because we came to church tonight. I pray that there are moms and dads that would be helped with their relationship with their children. I hope children tonight will be helped in regard to their relationship with mom and dad. Please bless us now with thy presence, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat there. The Bible, in what we just read, we see, and there's a spattering of teaching throughout all those verses about, if you will, child rearing or the relationship between parents and their children. I noticed there it said, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. He shall be give delight unto thy soul. And God is saying that he would like that the relationship between a parent and their and the child to be delightful. If he said, now, even when you correct your child, if it's all handled right, if everybody's behaving right, it can bring delight unto your soul, which means that God is hoping that we can have a good relationship with our children. Now, the lesson tonight, I think I'm going to teach on this. Now, we'll have, next week I may teach on this. The following week will be Thanksgiving, and we'll do something a little different then. But I think I'm going to teach on a relationship, the relationship between parents and their children, for 3 weeks or so, because I think it's an important subject. Folks, this thing of being parents, we are not just to endure it. We are to enjoy it. Now, there will be moments of enduring. There will be moments, but we're not to endure it. We're to enjoy it. And you say, why would you say that? Because the Lord says here, he says that, he said, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto your soul. I think God's intent was, as we're rearing our children, that we keep in mind this is to be a delightful thing. I'll tell you what happens. In most cases, now not in all, but in most cases, a young married couple, they get excited, and they're going to have children. They want to have children, and they just think this is going to be the best thing that ever happened to them. And then they have their first child, and then the child begins to grow up. And then they get to thinking, this isn't everything that I thought it was going to be. It's a little more challenging than what you expected, and indeed that's true. But I think you and I as parents ought to work at keeping the delight in the relationship what we can. I think that the parent-child relationship's pretty important. Let's face it, God has chosen to call himself our Father. He has chosen to call us his children. Well, I'll tell you, that means this thing of being a parent is a pretty big thing. Parents, God is comparing the role that you play to the role that he plays. And you children, understand that you have a pretty big responsibility too. You say, why so? Jesus is the Son of God, and now your part as a son or daughter in some way is being compared to the relationship or the position of Jesus under the Father. And so it's a big relationship. Folks, we are not just to live in the same house. And I think there's a difference in a house and a home. It's not a boarding house. It's not a hotel. We don't check in and check out. It's not just where you eat. It's not just where you sleep. There's a relationship that's to be taking place. Parents, you should want a spiritual relationship with your children. You should want a healthy relationship with your children. You should want a loving relationship with your children. You should want a kind relationship with your children. And I think you should want a respectful relationship with your children. Now, you say, I agree, Pastor. I want my children to respect me. I don't think that's what I was saying. I think there's a certain respect that a parent ought to have for a child. You say, why? Well, they're one of God's kids. They're a human being too. But not only should a parent want to have a spiritual, healthy, loving, kind, and respectful relationship with their child, I think every child in here, you ought to want to have a spiritual relationship with your mom and with your dad. I think you ought to want that relationship to be healthy and loving and kind and be respectful. Now, folks, that's not achieved by accident. I think it's achieved on purpose. Family behavior and the way we live at home, I think there's some things that God expects when it comes to the relationship between a mom and her children or a dad and the children. Here's what we do, folks, and everybody's guilty of this. We work extremely hard in regard to our public reputation. We all work at that. Could I recommend to all of us that we work real hard at our private reputation with our spouses and with our children? I'm not singling anyone out. I'm pretty sure we're all guilty of what I'm about to say. We are all extremely guarded on how we talk to each other here at church. We're not blowing our stack. We're not throwing things. We're not borderline cussing or going over the line cussing, because we're concerned about our reputation. Now, folks, you have a reputation at home, too. There are things that we say to our parents at home that we would never say in front of everybody at church. And there are things that we will say to our children and ways we'll say it at home that we would never say or do in public. Now, let me tell you something. We're hurting ourselves. We're hurting ourselves. I think we need to tighten up our reputation at home. It is really, really quiet in here. I think that the reputation that I have with my wife in regard to my temperament, I think that's important. Now, I want to have a good reputation or standing with Chris Edwards. That's a public reputation. But I also ought to be concerned about what my wife thinks of me. I ought to be concerned about not only what everybody thinks, but what she knows. So I think we have to work at it. Your relationships in your home, we need to work at it. Tonight, again, I'm going to talk some about your relationship with your child. First of all, let me say this. Bond with your child not on the basis of achievement, but on the basis of love. Bond with your child not on the basis of achievement, but on the basis of love. 1 Corinthians 13:8 says, charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Folks, I want to tell you, you have children, you need to build an individual relationship with each of the children. And I'll throw this out here. Family time alone is not enough. You need a relationship with each individual child. In other words, dad, if you've got three kids, you need time with each one of those children where you're building a relationship with each one. Mom, you have three children. You need time where you're building a relationship with each of the three children. Folks, I love church. Isn't this fantastic? Church is a wonderful thing. But I have to tell you something. If the only relationship building you have with your Heavenly Father is when we do it as a family in a group, you have a weak relationship. There is more to it than that. You need time with your God. You say, well, preacher, at our house we have family devotions. You know what? I'm glad. I hope you do. My wife and I reared our children with family devotions, but I always told my kids, you need time with God. Having family devotions is good, but I'll tell you something. Your family will be stronger as a result of personal devotions with God opposed to family. Hey, and I'm for both. I'm for both. But what I'm trying to tell you is this. If you had to make a choice of having a family Bible time or each person in your family having their own time in the Bible, people need their own time in the Bible more than we need to share it socially, if you will. And with that in mind, now let me say, as in relationships with your kids, it's great that you all do something as a unit together, but you need time with your child. So you can build a relationship with that child. Get close to them. And the whole point here is this. I've regressed a little bit. I'll get back at it. Bond with your child, not on the basis of achievement, but on the basis of love. That means this. Get close to them and let love be the glue. Let love be the glue. Success should not be the glue. You say, what do you mean by that? You bond with your child over your child's successes. That's a dangerous thing, because your child does not feel close to you when they have failed. And that's not how you're supposed to rear your children. The Bible says, love never faileth. Love is the gorilla glue of the family. Some bond with their children over achievement, but the bonding then wavers when the achievement wavers. I would say, I wouldn't bond with your kids over grades. You can praise them over their grades, but if you bond over A's and B's, then how do they feel when they get a C? God said, love. You know something? God loves you, win or lose. God loves you, right or wrong. Now, would God tell you you did a good job if you succeeded? Sure, He would. But the bonding is not primarily over achievement or success. Achievement glue fails, but love never fails. We're not minimizing achievement, we're maximizing love. See, some kids only feel good about their relationship with their parents when they have achieved success, and really, that success in the parents' chosen area of achievement. In other words, Dad doesn't express love to me unless I'm achieving in an area that he requires achievement. Our goal is that our children always know that they're loved. Now, the man that's teaching you tonight, I believe in achievement. I believe in character. I believe in getting the job done. But I have to tell you, your attachment, your bonding to your child, that ought to be done with love, not with what they achieve in life. In other words, if your child is what you would call an utter failure, your child ought to still know that you love them. That doesn't mean you're pleased with the failures. It means they know my mom and dad love me. If your child was in the depths of utter chaos in life, they might be disappointed and know you're disappointed in certain things, but they ought to know that you love them. Our goal is that they always know that they're loved. Our goal is that they always know that we love them, we claim them. Now, are our children always right? No. But they're always our children. And scripturally, they're always to be loved. So I think, parents, I think if we want to have the right relationship with our kids, let's let the glue be love. And be careful. I think there are adults that grew up in here, and I don't know who you are, and I'm not trying to slander your parents, but the only time you felt close to your mom or the only time you felt close to your dad is when they were praising you for your successes, because there wasn't really much of a love connection. It was all about success and achievement, and most of the time, it's in the area that the parent wants achievement. It's like, well, dad was an athlete, and if his son's not an athlete, then that son doesn't feel loved. I'm very sorry. I don't see where that's scriptural. I don't think that's what God intended. So, parents, if we want to improve, if we want to make our relationship with our children strong, bond with your child, not on the basis of achievement, but on the basis of love. And again, I'm not trying to minimize achievement. I'm trying to maximize love. There's nothing wrong with praising a child that succeeds. I think reward is due. But I don't think you ought, hey, look, if your child's failing and you're withholding love from them, there's something wrong with you. That is not scriptural. That's not spiritual. You ought to love them whether they win or lose. Now, we don't want them to lose everything in life. Matter of fact, I think in America we need a revival of winning. I think we ought to want to win. I think we ought to want to accomplish. I think we ought to want to achieve. But you ought to love your child whether they win or lose. And I really think your child ought to see that depth of love from you. Really, I think that is most apt to help your child to succeed. Now, there's a good, strong foundation there. But the Bible says, charity never faileth. Let me go on, number two. I think if you want to help your relationship with your child, learn your child's appetites. Then use some of those appetites to get close to them. And when I say appetites, what are the things that they like? What are the things they like to do? Parents, remember, I think God is saying, try to keep the relationship between you and your kids. Try to help it to be delightful. All the way to the point where it was talking about in correction or discipline. Try to keep it delightful. Now listen, discipline is one of the hardest times in the world to keep anything delightful. Well, I guess if God said try to keep a delight when the discipline's taking place, all the other times, which are 10 times easier to experience delight, there ought to be delight present. And so if I want to do that, I better make sure I connect with my child because I love my child, I'm not going to connect with them on the basis of they achieved or they did not achieve. Secondly, learn your child's appetites and then use those appetites to get close to them. I'm going to read to you something that God led Paul to write in 1 Corinthians 9:22. Paul said this, "To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." You know what Paul was saying here? Paul said, now, Paul was not about to adjust himself into doing wrong to win anybody, but Paul did say, I can adjust me to what you like in an effort to help you. I can adjust me to what you like in an effort that I might help you. Remember, use love as a glue. Now, I think you ought to take interest a little bit in some of the things that your child is interested in. And I think I'll explain it a little better here. The appetites that your child has, they may read you're taking an interest in those things and you're good at getting involved in those things. I think they're going to consider some of that as expressions of love. Someone wisely said, you spell love, T-I-M-E. Parents, and I think this works for children, I think this works for teenagers, parents, as long as your child's interest is not sinful, you're taking an interest in your child's interest is you putting yourself a little into their world, giving them time, making a connection with them, and you want, see, this whole series is about relationships. You want a good, fulfilling, delightful relationship with your child, then love them no matter what. Bond with love, not achievement. Then what? Take an interest in what they like. Enjoy it. I know parents that force their child to take an interest in the parents' appetites if that child is going to spend time with that parent. Dads, this may be a little tough, but I'm going to tell you something. Some of you, the only way your child can ever get time with dad is if we're working. We're working. I've only got time to work. The only way you're going to get any time with me is work. Well, I think work's good. I think work is good, and I think it is a wonderful thing to work. But I think that children don't enjoy work as much as parents do. Hey, and guess what, Dad? You were a child once, too. You were a child once, too. You know, parents, you dads say, well, I'd like to spend time with my teenage boy, but I can't get him interested in the stock market. Okay? And you were interested in the stock market when you were 14? No, what were you interested in? Basketball? You want to make a connection. Hey, I believe you ought to teach your kids to work. I think they ought to be taught to work. I think they ought to be taught to sweat. I think girls need to learn how to clean the house and work. And boys need to learn to care for the car and work. But I also believe this. they're 13 and they're 12 and they're 10, and their interests aren't what a parent's interest is. And if a parent wants to connect with the child, sometimes it's a good idea to put yourself in their non-sinful world and do some things with them as a reflection of interest and love. We're trying to keep delight in the relationship. It may or may not be that your child would take interest in your interest, but you could take interest in theirs and helping with that connection. For instance, when my boys were growing up, I don't know why. I think all boys. For years, boys played cowboys and Indians. And then later on in life, they all wanted to be army men, and there's a lot of different things. My boys somehow just took an interest in playing army. They like to play army, and so my wife and I, if you've seen my three boys go to bed when they were in first, second, and third grade, they all had camo jammies. That was a big deal to them. Any of you remember back when your jammies were a big deal? I mean, that's a status symbol, what kind of jammies you had. They had camo bedspreads. We had on their three beds, they all had a pup tent bed where you'd climb into that. It was a camo tent over their bed, and they just thought that was the berries. They had their own canteens and helmets and play guns. And I know you say, well, you should never give your child a play gun. I know, I gave mine real guns. And so they never play guns. And boy, and I can remember I was Dr. Jeff Owens playing army with my boys. We did it a lot because they liked it. They enjoyed it. Now, I wasn't necessarily promoting the military to them. My boys were interested in playing army. And I could say to them, well, you want to spend time with me, we're going to do nothing but work, nothing but work. But I wanted a delightful relationship with them. So I thought maybe if I would enter their world, we could enjoy some time together. The boys, they like playing cowboy. So my mother had made all three of my boys a cowboy rifle out of wood. And they all got cowboy boots. And she knew that my daughter was going to be reared different than my sons. And my mother knew that. And I said, "Now the boys aren't going to be feminine. My daughter's not going to be masculine. And that is a clear-cut thing in the scripture." And so she got all the boys these cowboy rifles and cowboy boots. And just to take care of it, Charlotta got pink cowboy boots and a pink rifle. So she could be a cowgirl with her brothers. But boy, we played with that sort of stuff. Now, I went into their world, and it made the relationship a little more delightful. See, yes, I'm the dad. Yes, what I say, it goes. But folks, you know, this isn't, so you all understand, being a parent is not necessarily being a drill sergeant. If your drill sergeant didn't love you and you didn't love him back, I think you'd be all right. I'm going to tell you this. If you don't love your child or your child doesn't love you back, you're not all right. It was never intended to be that way. And I'm for all the character building in the world. I know all sorts of people where the kids have character, but they can't stand their parents, and their parents can't stand them because they never worked on the relationship they got the character training in. But there wasn't a whole lot of compassion and interest and sharing that went on. Y'all, you ever seen those relationships where parents and kids have a connect and it's kind of a delightful, it's a fun relationship? That's what you want. That doesn't mean there's an absence of character training. It doesn't mean that they're not going to learn to get up early and work hard. And I think some parents, all they do is play with their kids, and their kids never learn to work. And I think that'll hurt them too. But bond with your child. And let love be the bond, not just success. Learn your child's appetites and whatever level they're at. Every once in a while, mom and dad, go into their arena and enjoy some things with them. Play with them and spend some time with them. You're more apt to have a delightful relationship. And I don't ever want to make anybody mad at me, but if you're a mom and you're not playing dolls and having tea with your daughter every once in a while, you're probably going to struggle with your relationship with your daughter as she grows older. You're too busy. You're too capable for that. If you're too busy and too capable to get down to where your daughter lives for a little while to show her some love, you're just too busy. And you're just too capable. And dads, if you don't have time every once in a while to play with trucks in the backyard or ride a bike or throw a ball, you're going to regret that someday. You're going to regret it. Because you're going to wish you had a connection with that child. The whole thing is not, run these kids through the conveyor belt of living at my house and get it over with and ship them and get it over with and get my privacy back. I'll give them what I have to give them to tolerate this mess and it'll be over with. God said there should be a delight. Believe it or not, the Bible talks about happy is the man that hath his quiver full. I'm talking about children. And just so you all know, the number of arrows in the quiver is dependent on how good you are shooting an arrow. But, and I don't think somebody told me one time, the quiver is 12. I don't know that that's necessarily true. I've never gone hunting with 12 arrows. You can still kill a deer, or whatever you kill. But, remember this. Bond with your child, but let love be the glue. Because if achievement is the glue, when they're failing, they won't feel loved. Now, should they achieve? Yes. Should they be praised? Yes. But achievement or lack thereof should never affect your love relationship with your child. In other words, when your child fails and falls flat on their face, they might embarrass themselves, but they can look up at mom and dad and say, well, I know my dad still loves me. I know my mom still loves me. Secondly, learn your child's appetites and get some time with them at their level, at the things that they're interested in. Now, and I said this earlier, and I don't want you to miss it. If your child's appetite is sinful or wrong, we don't lower ourselves to that level. But most of the children, they just want somebody to spend some time with them and love them. Life is not to a child all rigid. There is some time where they need to enjoy their mom and dad. Let me say another thing. I would say this, and this will help, and especially some of you that have teenagers, provide good replacement activity for the bad activity you must, as a parent, reject. Provide good replacement for bad activity that you may have to reject. Romans chapter 1, verse 1, Paul said, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Let me explain. Paul was living a certain kind of life. Back then, his name was Saul. God said, I saved you. Now I'm going to separate you, and there's some things you're not going to do anymore. So he left the bad, and he went to the good. Separation is a part of the Christian life. Those of you, as you're rearing your children, if you're rearing them right, there are some things you're not going to let your kids do. And I'm not talking about just not letting them rob banks. I'm talking about more than that. There's a lot of things that you may not let your child do. Well, I'm going to teach you a little something that will help you with that. Parents really, really struggle when there are things that the parent would not think would be good for that child to do, especially if it's scriptural and it's a separation issue, and you're saying to your child, no, you're not going to do that. You can't do that. Well, now, let me help you right there. If you take something and you separate them from it, can I recommend that if you're taking bad away, you try to offer some good in the place of it? You say to your child, no, you're not going to listen to rock and roll music. And you should. No, you're not going to listen to rock and roll music. So this is what you do. You take their music away, and you should. But then you don't give them any good music. So are they to be musicless? What do you do? If you retract bad as a parent, why don't you do your best to replace it with good? Look, you want your children to listen to the right kind of music. If I were you, I would be flooding your home with good, godly, gospel music. You say, why? Because they're not going to do without music altogether. So if you're not careful, while you're being an old-fashioned fundamentalist and you're separating in this life, which you ought to, your child feels like they're being smothered and everything is being taken away from them unless you are providing good to replace the bad that you do not want in their life. Let's say there's some activity that your child wants to participate in, but it's not going to happen. And maybe the kids are going to go to some rock concert, and you say, you're not doing it. You're just not going to do it. Okay, take that stand, and you ought to. But I'll tell you what would help. Wonder if you said, you're not doing it, we're not going to do it, it's not scriptural. But I'll tell you what, you and I are going to go to a ball game together, and we are going to have a good time. You know something? You have taken the bad out, you've put some good in, so they don't feel like they're being robbed of everything in life. And kids, they want to do some things that are wrong. And I think a parent has to take a stand. And there's some things that they'll just do without. But doing without everything, it becomes pretty hard on them. God, when He saved us, here's our dad. What'd He do? When we got saved, He took hell away. He replaced it with what? Heaven. He took death away and replaced it with what? Life. He took Satan away, replaced it with Jesus. He took our rags away, replaced it with riches. He's a good dad. A good dad just doesn't take away those things that might hurt. A good dad just doesn't say, we're going to separate. A good dad says, I'll take away the thing that might hurt, but watch what I can do. I can give you some other good things. Your life, hey, you're not, folks, when you get saved, you're not going backwards in life. You're going forward in life. And that's how God treats us. It might be wise for us parents to learn to treat our children that way and to realize it's not take, 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 take. Hey, you may take something bad out, but let your child see the good in life. Let them see the fun in life. So you say to your child, you're not going to have that book. And there, hey, parents, you ought to know what your kids are reading. You ought to have control over what they read. When I told my children that there were certain kinds of books that we would not allow in our home, and we were extremely cautious about what our children read. But I'll tell you what, you could ask my children. They had libraries full of good reading material. There are all sorts of things, and you might criticize me for this, but that doesn't bother me. My kids, there were books that were written in a certain era in history. I didn't even let them read anything at that era. But my kids, they had all the Hardy Boy books that they wanted. They had all the Nancy Drew, and I mean they had, and these were good books, and we searched and searched and searched. We'd go and we would find good books. My kids had, we had hundreds of books for my kids to read. It wasn't just you can't, it was you can, and I'll provide the good for you. Because, I tell you what happens, I think our kids grow up and they grow up in the right atmosphere and the right kind of church where a pastor will take a stand and with parents that will take a stand. They'll say there's certain things that you're not going to do. They're wrong. They're worldly. So you take, but if you're not careful and you don't put some good in there, your child's going to feel cheated. They're going to feel like they can't have any fun in life. They can't enjoy. Brother Elswick and I, we agree on this and we work at this. Look, he'll get up there in Youth Ablaze and he'll say, kids, there are certain things you ought not be doing and places you ought not go. But then he'll turn around and he'll take them to good, wholesome activities and give them good things to do. We don't say to the kids, you just can't enjoy life. No, we say to them, you can enjoy life. We'll help you to have some things that you can enjoy, but these things you shouldn't. You shouldn't. I personally don't think your kids ought to be going to the dances that the public schools host. But Brother Elswick came to me. He said, you know what we ought to do? We ought to have an annual banquet, and it's their annual Christmas banquet. said that kids can get all decked up and look fancy and better than going to the prom where there's rock and roll and drinking and kids lose their purity. And so we replace it with something good because we want to say that that over there is bad. Now, if you want a better relationship with your children while you're busy telling them of the things that they can't do, I would recommend that you find some things they can do. If you're going to tell them there's music that they can't listen to, make sure you give them music that they can listen to. If you're going to tell them that there are books that they can't read, you need to find them books that they can read. Hey, if you say those friends, you can't be with those friends, and you better get them in the right place where they can find the right friends because they're not going to go friendless. And if you've separated them from all their friends, mom and dad, you ought to become their best friend. And you say, whether your son says, well, I don't have anybody to play ball with. The boy ought to not ever say that. Why? Because he's got a dad. But what we do is when we're taking, if we don't provide good for the bad that we've taken, we'll put a sour taste in their mouth. And I don't think that you have to do this 100% of the time. I'm just telling you, if you want a better relationship, don't just take all the time. Put the good in there and let them see that you have an interest in their happiness. You have an interest in their joy. Now, young people, let me tell you something. Mom and dad, if you say, that's right, I'm going to start keeping track. You know, if dad takes something, I'm going to be finding out. What's he going to put in its place? Well, let me explain something to you, young people. In the Christian life, every once in a while, you sacrifice and you give something up because you love Jesus and it's right to do. And you know something? It may never be replaced. You say, why? Because you're just sacrificing for Jesus. I'm not saying it's always a trade-off, but to parents, the wise parent would say, I don't want to take and take and take and take. Let's see if I can give some things. I remember when my boys at one point, I decided there were some things that I wasn't going to let them do. And it was a big deal to them, very big deal to them. But they weren't disappointed when I brought the four-wheeler home. I said, you guys are going to have a little extra time. You can't go do this, but if you wouldn't mind, I'd really like to cut you loose on that four-wheeler. Okay, Dad, that'll work. You know, what was I doing? There are certain things I was not going to let them do. There are some other things I could let them do. And I was going to provide those things so that they had good, wholesome, fun activity. There have been many, many times in the rearing of our children, other kids looked at ours and said, man, you do a lot of neat stuff. Well, I didn't want my kids to look at the world all the time and say, they're having all the fun. And remember that here, you know, in our Sunday school classes, I don't want us to do anything that's wrong. I want us to do what's right. But don't you make it so morbid that the kids hate church and hate Sunday school and hate King's Kids and hate the Flyers Club and hate Youth Ablaze because all it is just a rigid time. No, I think we're keeping them out of the world. Well, if they're going to be out of the world, let's get them in the church, but give them something good to do and fun to do and wholesome to do and let them enjoy their Christian life as a young person. I'm finished, but the whole purpose of tonight is I want to help you have the right relationship with your child. First of all, I said, bond with them using love, not achievement. Because love never fails. Achievement, that comes and goes. But your relationship and your love is not to come and go. Secondly, learn their appetites and get involved in some things that they will enjoy at whatever level. Don't always make them come up to where you are. Be willing to come down to where they are. That's exactly what God did when he sent Jesus. God came down in the flesh to meet with you and I so we could get a glimpse of what it was really all about. Now, then I said thirdly, provide good to replace the bad that you're withholding from them. And I think if we do that, our children will see we're not trying to make their life boring. We're not trying to take all the fun things away. We're taking the things away that will hurt. And there are good things that can be done in its place. All right. We will talk again next week, and I've got some other points that I think will help us. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Young people, you ought to want to have a good relationship with your mom and dad. Parents, you ought to want to have a good relationship with your children. takes a little work, takes some investing, takes some thinking. I hope that you'll somehow be able to squeeze something out of what's been said tonight. Hey, and some of this even works. Some of this works with even grown children. Just taking, if what they do is not sinful, how about a little time with them here or there? Make sure they know you love them whether they're succeeding or not. The only time that you love on your grown adult son or daughter is when they got a raise at work. I've got news for you. They needed you to love them when they were not getting a raise at work. Now, I don't want you to agree with their wrong lifestyle, but I want you to bond with them using love. But who here tonight would say, I think I've learned something. I think I've been challenged in a way. I can use this in some area of my life. And you'd let God see your uplifted hand. God bless you. You can put that hand down. We'll have an altar call. It won't last long. Mrs. Young, why don't you play, if you will? Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Ushers, if you will, why don't you get the prayer bulletins ready? If you need a moment at the altar, you come. Maybe you just need to come and say, Lord, I need to work on something a little bit here. Hey, Sunday school teachers, let me tell you something. This thing of getting involved with good activity at their level, look, if you want to enjoy, if you want the children in your Sunday school class to enjoy your class, it wouldn't hurt for you to get involved at their level. Have some fun at their level. You can't expect them all the time to come up to yours. Bond with love, not achievement. Take interest in wholesome appetites that the child has and get involved. Provide good to replace the bad in their life. That way they get some activity, they get some fun. Just like God did for us. Heaven for hell. A robe for rags. Jesus for the devil. He replaced. You're going to take the bad music away, give them good music. You're going to take the bad books away, get them some good books. If you're going to say to them, that friend is a bad friend, then you make sure that you get some friendship in there. Get them in a place where they can get some good friends. This is the last time through the song, and we'll be on our way before long. Okay, folks, go ahead and have a seat there.